Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Those were the good old days, yeah. In a way, in terms of you know, there was no cybersecurity because I guess there was no cyber. That's not the case now. We're talking about cybersecurity in terms of school districts here in Louisiana, where the governor declared an emergency and brought in the National Guard. We just talked to Jeffrey Kossoff, a cybersecurity law professor, about cities, Atlanta and Baltimore, even Lake City, Florida, smaller places that have been attacked by ransomware. And I think Lake City, Florida paid $500,000 in ransom. But businesses are also the target, as are individuals. And Alex Hammerstone joins us now, cybersecurity lead at Trusted Sec, or is it SEC?
It's Trusted Sec, yeah.
Trusted Sec. Talk about this. Morning, Alex. How are you?
Doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm okay. Tell me about cybersecurity as it relates to businesses. And, you know, I don't know. They have me so terrified here, Alex. I swear to God, anybody that emails me, I apologize if I don't respond to you because I don't open anything. I am that paranoid. And should I be, or am I overreacting here?
Paranoid is probably a strong word. I think we need to be very vigilant and smart. You know, one of the challenges with those emails is that that's what you use email for. We send stuff to people. And so people take advantage of that. You're expecting it and you click on stuff. But these cyber attacks, especially, you know, for municipalities and school districts, it's becoming an absolute epidemic. I mean, it's happening everywhere. You mentioned, the Florida story, West Virginia, it's been happening, Baltimore, Atlanta, Akron, the airport up here in Cleveland was hit, and there's a power company in South Africa right now that's undergoing a ransomware attack, and people might lose power. And it's wild out there right now.
So, you know, if this is a burgeoning industry, I hate to phrase it that way, but going back to the paranoia I expressed about the emails, if it is a burgeoning industry and it's happening all over, how do you not be paranoid when it comes to opening an email from perhaps somebody you don't know?
Well, it's tough. You got to stay smart on these things. And, for people, making sure that your computers are updated and making sure that that's an email you expect, be vigilant, especially, there have been some cases where people have been hit during the real estate transaction process where somebody gets into their email and they'll change the email from the bank with the routing numbers. And so you wire the money to the wrong place and it's just gone. So really just make sure that you're verifying things. If someone knocks on your door and asks for money, you're not going to give it to them.
Yeah.
So same thing with email. Just make sure that you're checking where it came from and, verifying these things.
I think that sounds maybe a lot easier than it is, Alex, because, a lot of us are cyber idiots. We'll pick the conversation up here in a couple of minutes. Alex Hammerstone, our guest, cybersecurity lead at Trusted Sec. If you have any questions about how to keep your data safe, about ransomware, emails, etc., text them to 87870, and I'll pass them along to Alex. It is 9:39, almost 9:40. Tommy Tucker, back in a flash on WWL. You never thought you'd pine for the good old days when somebody could just knock a hole in your ceiling or break a window and steal whatever you have. You never thought you'd look back on those days fondly, but what with cybersecurity and ransomware, we kind of are. Alex Hammerstone, our guest, cybersecurity lead at Trusted Sec. And Alex, I get a couple of texts here that I'd like to pass along if I could. Somebody texts in and said, I thought opening an email was okay and that the problem was with attachments. Am I wrong? That's from Sal. Thank you, Sal. Is Sal on to something there, Alex, or not?
In general, everything with cybersecurity is always, yes, but. And so in almost every case, that's correct. Just opening the email wouldn't be a problem. It's either clicking on a link in there or downloading an attachment and doing something with it from that standpoint.
So if they're smart enough to do it with an attachment, why can't they do it from the email itself?
So it comes down to the way the email works. So it's not generally sending a program with it or something like that. It usually does require some kind of action on your end to initiate the thing.
Is it possible where just the action of opening the email itself would generate some kind of virus?
Not in general. You know, what can get you sometimes, depending on how your machine is patched or things like that, is visiting the website. So just visiting a website can infect you sometimes. But in general, just opening an email is usually not a problem.
A website outside of an email context?
That's correct. So like in your browser, so going to a website that way.
And this would be a phished website? Or you see, because that's the other thing. You know, so many people are doing business online now. How do you know that what you're looking at is the actual site of what it is you're trying to look at?
So there are a few different ways. So one is just make sure that, you know, if you want to go visit your bank, actually type in the bank's web address. Don't just click on a link in an email.
Okay.
So if you receive an email saying, hey, come log into your bank, then make sure you actually go out to your browser, type in the address that way or use an application on your phone rather than clicking the link in your email.
Let me go to another text here. It says, I run a small business. I depend on emails for my customers. Is there any way that I could be, and I guess this maybe goes to what we talked about before, that I could be infected by somebody purporting to be a customer who is actually maybe a competitor or somebody else trying to steal my data?
So absolutely, and there are a number of ways they could do that. Either, you know, impersonating somebody. I mean, think about how easy it is to impersonate a customer. There's so much data out there that you can go find out a lot of information about somebody and create a very convincing email that really looks like, you know, somebody sent it, has all the information they're supposed to. So it's definitely something to keep in mind. You know, whenever there are financial transactions, you know, make sure you're calling the person. You know, I've seen a number of times small businesses have sent a wire transfer or something based on an email rather than just calling and confirming and saying, hey, did you ask for this wire transfer? And oftentimes that will stop it. You know, they'll find out that it's fraudulent. So really, there's not any one thing you can do. There's no silver bullet. But there are a number of things you can do to coordinate to increase your security.
Is this kind of thing where the level of complexity is such that you wouldn't waste it on an individual or on a small company? You would target the really big companies? Or is it something that is so easily accomplished that a lot of people are capable of doing it? So why not, I hate to use the phrase, make it up in volume, but gain as much as you can by attacking smaller operations that perhaps could be more vulnerable?
So the answer is both. They're targeted attacks against large organizations, but in general, they're going to have better defenses. Not always, but usually. And if you look at some of the things that have happened, you know, we've seen there was a story of a church in the Cleveland area that was hit for $1,400,000 through, you know, fraudulent wire transfers and emails. So even these small companies have tons of money. And if you start to think about it, you know, hacking has very low overhead. If you want to be in the drug trade or a lot of other illegal activities, there's a lot more chances to get caught. There's a lot of overhead. There's a lot of labor. There's a lot of people involved. But hacking really has almost no overhead. I mean, you see the computer and a connection and some knowledge. And so when you start to think about these numbers and, you know, if they're coming from overseas, you know, don't forget that in certain countries, you know, the amount of income you need to be very well off there is something that would seem low to us. So it's worth it to them to spend, you know, a lot of effort to get what may seem like a smaller amount of money to us. So not just hitting people for millions, they're hitting them for, you know, 10, 20 grand here and there.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.